The letters in this week's paper seem to be dominated by views on the referendum on European Union membership. We have all heard so much about this in the general media, so just one about that, and then some letters with a difference. Thus, we will also hear about the Riverside Walk, how a Chinese visitor has found Norwich people to be so friendly, and then a complaint about the tabloid press. D. Hastings of Salhouse asks for some straight talking about the EU referendum. He says, I do hope that our politicians will soon stop their childish behaviour so we can get back to the vital, clear analysis of the points and for and against leaving the EU. The present project of fear being carried by some senior members of our political elite is both demeaning and an insult to the intelligence of the electorate. If David Cameron is so terrified of leaving the EU, why did he ever call for a referendum? Or was it just party politics and a desire for power? Whatever it was, in the 100 days left before we cast our vote, can we please have a sensible and adult debate on this most important of issues?
Now, Eugen Shi of Norwich praises Norwich friendliness. I came from China to be an academic visitor at UEA. Since last September, I've lived in Norwich. This fine city impresses me in many ways, and what affects me most is the popular hello I get here. The population of Norwich only ranks 144th in Great Britain, but to a great extent, it is a world-class city. It is the first UNESCO literature city in England, a fine city, and the most well-kept medieval city. It's well known for its popular pubs, churches, and architecture. Norwich also has a Premier League football team. Then there are the Maddermarket Theatre, Theatre Royal, and Playhouse. However, I think the greatest cultural shock for me has come from the simple, honest and kind folk in this city who always say hello. When I first came here, I met strangers on the streets. I was surprised at the kind greeting they gave me. I was not sure if they were talking to me until I looked around and saw there was no one else in the vicinity. It's an unusual phenomenon in a modern city. Now I've grown accustomed to it in the shops and on streets and in many other places. I have been to other British, Chinese and Canadian cities, and it's very unusual, and if it happens in London, Toronto, Beijing or Shanghai, saying hello to a stranger seems to be almost unique to Norwich. It is an ancient idea to express goodwill, but it has been kept alive and well here. The Chinese students at UEA call Norwich Nuokun, which means Norwich Village, or Nor Village. It means Norwich is not only a small city, but a close community. Usually, the members of a village community know each other and have a good relationship.
Tom Carver of Norwich discusses the Riverside Walk. It's all very well for Norwich City Council to talk about filling in the missing links on the Riverside Walk beside the Wensum in Norwich and promising draft strategies and public consultation. A golden opportunity to do this was missed in recent years when permission was given to build a school, Jane Austen College, on the site that might have linked Duke Street to St George's by way of the back of Norwich Playhouse. I had often wondered when this previously empty area beside the river might become part of the Riverside Walk or the cycleway, and save me and others a detour along Colgate. I welcome any efforts to fill these missing links, but this won't happen unless it is made a priority.
Lastly, John Norton of Mattershall bemoans the power of the tabloids. He writes, "What a strange country we live in. On one hand, we have the Governor of the Bank of England, who is probably the country's most senior independent professional, with a handle on prospects for the national economy, pilloried for making a perfectly reasonable and self-evident statement about the economic risks and uncertainties of leaving the EU. On the other, we have a tabloid newspaper splashing a headline about the Queen's views based on an anonymous source which is possibly spurious and unsubstantiated. How do these tabloids, which probably have more influence on framing people's views than politicians or governors of the Bank of England, continue to get away with it?